Hello, everyone. I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the novel that I'm currently working on. Alas, I do not have time to read the entirety of this chapter in my boo because I only have a 10-minute account. But at least this will give you an indication of what my writing style is like. This novel concerns a young lady from Canada who receives a letter from some English solicitors informing her that she has inherited a cottage in the Cotswolds from a great aunt, her only living relative. So here is how it begins. Claire de la Lune by S.M. Smith. Chapter 1. Lottridge, Pickett, and Entwistle, solicitors in good standing, sat in their London office awaiting their first client of the day. A steady spring rain teemed down outside the window, obscuring the usually pleasant view of the public garden across the street. Showing no signs of ceasing, it promised an inauspicious day ahead. The atmosphere inside the room was no better. A dark cloud of smoke issued forth from a pipe, which one of the men held clamped between his teeth, hovering over their heads like an ill omen. The grandfather clock that stood against one wall ticked out a somber tattoo, its lugubrious voice competing with that of the drumming rain.
"Well, why isn't she here yet?" growled Pigott, his words muffled by the pipe still clamped between his teeth.
"I've no idea," rejoined Lottridge. "But you know these Americans. Always late. No respect for punctuality."
"Canadian," murmured Entwistle. "Eh? What's that?" asked Pigott through his pipe.
"I say she's Canadian," came the laconic response.
"It amounts to the same thing," snapped Lottridge. "And, Pigott, I do wish you'd get rid of that blasted pipe. The smoke is yellowing my paperwork. Besides, it's bad for our image. Not that we have much of one to speak of yet." "We've been in practice for over a year now, and we've hardly had any clients. The only reason we've got this one is because her aunt was an acquaintance of Entwistle's old man."
He glowered up at an enormous portrait of a grey-bearded gentleman in sober black evening dress. It hung on the wall closest to the desk, dominating the room.
"Speaking of which, Entwistle, I do wish you'd take down that confounded picture. How can I be expected to work properly with that hideous visage constantly hanging over me? You're a solicitor in your own right now. One would think you wouldn't want to be reminded every minute of every day that this used to be your father's firm. You ought to implement some changes around here. Get rid of some of this dusty old furniture. Truly make the place your own."
"Couldn't," said Entwistle.
"What's that you say?" asked Pigott, cupping one hand around his right ear. "I say I couldn't," replied Entwistle, rubbing his bald pate. "Wouldn't be fair to the old fellow."
"Why not?" demanded Lottridge.
"He's been in his grave for 2 years. Why would he care?"
"Place has been this way since I was a lad. Wouldn't be right to change it now."
"You're daft," sighed Lottridge. "But it's your show. You're the senior partner. If I can't get my work done round here, though, it'll be your fault, and Pigott's too. I can't bloody well see with all this smoke mucking up the place. Now where on earth is that blasted woman? She's 10 minutes late."
At that moment, the intercom on the desk buzzed discreetly, forestalling any further debate. Entwistle turned to it, looking relieved.
"She here, then?" he asked into it.
A rich female voice with a dulcet Irish lilt came through the speaker in reply.
"Yes, Miss Allen is here now. I'll show her in."
Lottridge sighed, rolling his eyes heavenward as if petitioning the gods for patience.
"Entwistle, why on earth did you have to hire an Irish secretary? Bad for our image, I say."
"Nice girl," said Entwistle.
"Well, at least Marjorie McWilliams is competent, unlike the last one," commented Piggott. "And she speaks up loud and clear. That last girl's Brummie accent was so thick, she sounded like she had a mouthful of mush. Now that really was bad for our image." "Maybe so, maybe so, but we're supposed to be a fine, upstanding firm," countered Lottridge. "Our clients expect quality service from an impeccable English staff. They equate the Irish with laxity and slovenliness."
"What clients?" snorted Piggott.
"Well, I mean the clients we'll have when we become more widely known," asserted Lottridge, a slight flush of colour rising in his cheeks. "We're bound to make a name for ourselves sooner or later if we start off on the right foot."
"We're all right," said Entwistle.
"Eh?" asked Piggott. "Entwistle, can you actually string more than 5 words together at a time?" demanded Lottridge.
"Did," said Entwistle, "just a minute ago."
Lottridge groaned, tugging his bushy black mustache and beseeching heaven with another upward glance. Before he could make any further rejoinder, the door opened and a tall woman with curly red hair stepped jauntily into the office. She was clad in faded jeans and a red and white knitted jumper, the front of which bore a garish maple leaf and the legend, "Proud to be Canadian." Lottridge rolled his eyes, expressing to the room at large that this was not his notion of an ideal client. "Hi," exclaimed the woman, looking around at them all and smiling broadly. "Sorry I'm late. I got lost in Piccadilly Circus. All these roundabouts you have here are so confusing, and I'm not used to driving on the wrong side of the road. I guess you guys must be Lottridge, Pig, and Entwistle. I'm Claire Allen, but you know that already. It's nice to meet you." She extended a hand to the 3 gentlemen, waiting for a response.
"It's Piggott," snorted the same through his pipe.
"But I'll forgive you this time. At least you speak up nice and loud, unlike Entwistle here." He pointed an accusatory finger at his colleague.
"At least I don't smoke," rejoined Entwistle.
Lottridge couldn't help smiling a little at the young lady's gaff. At least, he thought, it provided a little amusement on this dull day. And Piggott deserved to be knocked down a peg or two. He held out a hand to the new client, who was still waiting for someone to shake hers.
"I'm Jeremiah Lottridge," he said, "and as you've already observed, these gentlemen are my partners in crime, so to speak. The fellow on my right, the quiet one who doesn't smoke, is Ernest Entwistle III. He's the firm's senior partner. And of course, the one on my left is Cyril Piggott, our newest partner. Do sit down, Miss Allen."
"Thanks," enthused the woman, plopping down in a chair across from the men and appraising her surroundings with a keen eye. The office was spacious, but the hulking grandfather clock and the desk of Walnut Burl, which stood in the center of the room, made it seem much smaller. 3 high-backed armchairs were arranged behind the massive desk, each complete with its own lawyer. Dark wooden paneling covered the walls, further adding to the chamber's inherent gloom. There was a marble fireplace which would have afforded a modicum of cheer if it had actually contained a fire. Instead, an electric log sat where a pleasant wood-fired blaze should have been, giving forth light but no warmth. The rest of the space was taken up by ancient oak filing cabinets, each one powdered with a layer of dust that indicated lack of use. The room's only adornment was the portrait of the firm's estimable founder. Gray-haired, gray-bearded, and exceedingly somber of face, he loomed over the office's occupants, his steely eyes seeming to follow their every move.